My guest today is going to blow you away because this is the first time I have a non-TCM practitioner, although she does practice acupuncture, but her title is a naturopathic medicine doctor. So she's not a TCM practitioner per se, but she has so much knowledge, so many nuggets she comes and shares with us. And we're going to talk about gut health or the digestive system, which we know in TCM is at the center of our health, and it's so important. So Dr. Alex and I go back and forth into looking at it from a perspective of naturopathic medicine and a perspective of Chinese medicine. And you are going to love all the information she shared with us, because what she came to do today is to give us more tools to allow us to support our patients better. So I can't wait for you to meet her. Let's go.
Welcome to AcuPro, a show dedicated to making Chinese medicine and acupuncture easy to grasp and fun to learn. Hi, I'm your host, Clara Cohen. I support practitioners and students like you in changing the world one patient at a time. My goal is to share my passion for TCM and empower you to achieve superior patient care. I love to showcase the amazing benefits of acupuncture because, after all, acupuncture rocks.
Today, I'm so excited because I've got a guest that is not a TCM practitioner, but it complements TCM very well and knows about TCM. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. So I would like to, first of all, welcome my friend and colleague, Dr. Alex Dragon. She is amazing. You are going to love her. Alex, welcome to the AcuPro Show.
Thank you so much. That's such a lovely intro.
I love to work with naturopathic doctor, and Alex is a naturopathic doctor. So we're going to learn a little bit about how, as TCM practitioners, we can work alongside NDs and just help and support our patient the best way possible. But before we do that, I want to introduce you so you know a little bit about Alex. She's in Canada. She's in British Columbia, like I am. And she is practicing in the Vancouver and Vancouver area. She also focuses her practice a lot on gut health, which is what we're going to talk about today, and on women's health. She does a lot of acupuncture, including cosmetic acupuncture. She does microneedling. She is very well-versed in a lot of ways, but she really enjoys gut health, and she makes really good recipes. I follow her on Instagram, and she has always great insight when it comes to recipes and what meals to prepare. There's so much we can unpack in here. This is going to be fantastic. So before we start, I know you were an amazing student. I know you got an award for that because you are very dedicated to your craft and you love what you do. How did you decide to start going back to school or going to school for naturopathic medicine?
I feel like every naturopathic doctor has a similar story to mine. And it's that I was struggling with my own health. And when I was in university, I was studying biology in Montreal, and I knew I wanted to do more school. I just didn't know what that was. I was thinking maybe nutrition or physio or something to do with health, medicine. And I had gut problems since I was a child. IBS, quote unquote, I'm doing quotations right now, IBS-like symptoms. And I just didn't really feel like I was getting the answers that I needed to feel better from the conventional sphere. They had done lots of tests and I had ruled lots of things out, but I was left with this diagnosis of you have IBS and you're lactose intolerant. So just deal with it. And so I was doing lots of research. I was looking actually at acupuncture and different things. And I had never heard of naturopathic medicine in my life. I didn't know what it was. I come from a very conventional family. My mom's a nurse and my dad's an engineer. Very straight arrow, follow the convention. And I somehow stumbled upon naturopathic medicine. I was like, oh, what is this? What is this? So I looked into it and it seemed so all-encompassing. Wow, I can learn about nutrition. I can learn about botanical medicine as well as conventional medicine. And it just seemed like it had everything in there. I was leaning towards that. And I thought I should probably go see someone before I go and spend all this money on school. I should probably go see a naturopath. So I went to one in Montreal. And she basically told me that you need to work on your stress, you need to work on your nervous system. And that kind of blew my mind because no one had ever told me that before about my gut. I was thinking like food, or I'm eating something that's bothering me, or I'm just genetically like this. I don't know. And so after that meeting with her, I knew immediately. I was like, this is what I need to do. I'm going for the gusto. And I got into school in Vancouver, and the rest is history. And now I'm here.
Yeah. And you graduated after 4 years. So For those who don't know, the naturopathic program is 4 years. And, you know, you have to pass a license, just like we do with acupuncture. And then you obviously can become a full-time doctor and open your practice. Now, what's interesting about you going to see a naturopath for me on that TCM perspective is that she was like, we need to address your stress and your emotional stress and everything that comes around it. And that's so TCM. The causes of disease, or 70% of chronic issue in TCM, is related to emotional stress. Mm-hmm. And it could be years of the same emotion, like worry, overthinking, trauma, you know, fear, anxiety, all those things that eventually affect our gut at the cellular level and changes everything and makes us sick, basically. Everyone that has had the opportunity of speaking on stage, which I have, just before it, I feel like I'm going to vomit, right? I'm so sick to my stomach because you're so anxious and you're just like, oh my God, I just can't breathe. My stomach is in knot. I feel like I'm going to throw up. If I throw up, maybe I'll feel better after. But that's exactly it. It's that quick acute anxiety that we feel in the pit of our stomach. Mm-hmm. But when that's chronic, then that creates more and more issues. Yeah. So it was really good that she pointed it out. Because you have learned both sides of TCM, which is part of naturopathic medicine, one of the things I want to ask you is, what are the key components of naturopathic medicine when you treat patients? And obviously one of them is looking at the root cause. So can you go into that?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is like what the pillars are of naturopathic medicine. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Alex is bilingual, but you wouldn't know because when she speaks English, she doesn't have an accent like me. So when she says pillars, I'm like, oh, she used such a great word. I wish I had thought of that, but my vocabulary never goes into this. So thank you. So pillars, I love that word because it's strong. It's like a pillar. Go for it.
So we have six pillars in naturopathic medicine. I think some of them are similar to conventional medicine as well. But one of the first ones is first do no harm. So I think that goes without saying, right? Same with acupuncture. Like, you don't want to put harm into your patient. So that's the first one, goes without saying. The second one is the healing power of nature. So I think that also encompasses TCM, which is why acupuncture is a part of naturopathic medicine. Identify and treat the root cause. So figure out why it's happening, treat that, then you don't have to treat the symptoms. Doctor as teacher, so educating our patients about their lifestyle, their nutrition, et cetera. Treat the whole person, so not just fixate on one thing and isolate that, but actually look at everything that's going on in someone's life. And prevention, so looking at 10 years, 20 years from now, what's going to happen in your health and how can we prevent maybe a genetic thing that's happening in your family that you see, heart disease, we want to prevent that. So those are our pillars. And then within each of those, obviously you can dive deep and go into those. My favorite is Dr. S teacher, because I think that when people take their health into their own hands and they actually understand how they can help themselves day to day, then I don't need a job anymore, which is not, obviously I want to have a job, but people can then take that power back to themselves.
I think empowering patients is really key. And your six pillars are the same in TCMs. This is why I love naturopathic medicine. When I decided to go back to school, I was hesitating between naturopathic medicine and TCM. So I will never regret what I did because I love TCM and it's such a passion. So I'm so glad I went into that field. However, those two were really attractive to me because exactly what you just shared, the six pillars are exactly the same in both areas or in both medicine. And what I love is I agree about the educating patients. This is why I spend so much time on social media, because together and with other practitioners that share my content, we try to educate the world on what can empower patients to take action and to take charge of their own health. Because up until a little while back, people just gave their health to their medical doctor and say, hey, this is my problem, help me. But now it's, okay, we are here to guide you. We are here to educate you and support you in that journey. But you are not going to get to the top of a mountain by me carrying you. You have to walk. I'll show you the way to the mountain, but you got to walk. And when patients understand that, they feel so much more in power and go, okay, what do I have to do? And I think when people come and see naturopathic doctors, that's the first thing they ask. What do you want me to do so I get better? You're going to tell me what to do and I'll go and do it. So I think that's fantastic. Because today we're going to talk about gut health. When someone comes in with gut issue like you had growing up, and I think a lot of people have gut issues and the root cause can be many, what is your first assessment? How do you go about it? What does it look like when patients come in?
So the first thing that I like to do is to ask people to tell me their story. So a lot of people in my intake form, I say, put your three main concerns, if gut health is one, or maybe constipation, bloating, et cetera. I say, tell me about your bloating. When did this start? What was going on at that time? And people usually launch into this story of, oh, in 2019, I moved across the country and I had this really stressful period. And then since then, my gut has never been the same. Or another common one is, I went on a vacation to Vietnam in 2016 and I got this stomach bug and I came back. And since then, nothing has ever been the same. And by getting the timeline, I pick out the most important pieces, because understanding why it was there in the first place helps me to reverse engineer the problem so that we can get back to the root cause. Although with gut, I would say a lot of people, especially with quotations, IBS, it's since they were a child. And so I even ask, did your mom say that you were constipated as a baby or you had colic as a baby? Sometimes it goes all the way back to then. And that becomes a more difficult problem to manage because it's set in your nervous system to have those issues. And then we dive into more in-depth questioning about bowel movements and the volume of stool. And people always get very nervous talking about their poop, but this is an everyday conversation for me. It's important. It's when your dog goes to the bathroom and it has a weird color and it's all liquidy worms, that's telling you something. And so our poo tells us a lot about what's going on inside. So I ask a lot of questions about that and then about the symptoms as well. And so that's more gut focused, but then we kind of branch out and we go into nervous system. How is stress? How is sleep? All of those daily activities. What is your morning routine? Do you just jump out of bed and run to work, or are you having a restful morning? Are you having breakfast? Same thing with nighttime routine. So there's a lot of questions that go into it. But I think the first thing is to open it up to the person so that I can get a sense of how they are as a person, but also their story.
Did you know I have a free PDF on TCM treatments for constipation? It'll be in the show notes below for you to grab if you haven't done so yet. Let's get back to the show. I think that's fantastic because the more information you have, the better you can support your patients. You're absolutely right. And what's funny is often patients will say things like, is this too much details? And I'm like, no, give me the details. The more details, the better. And it's funny you talk about poop and bowel movement and stools, because when you ask people that question, what does your stool look like? I don't know. I don't look. And I'm like, no way. And you mentioned that. I always look at the stool of my dog because it gives me an indication, because he's never going to complain if something is wrong or right. If I see blood coming out with liquid stool, I'm panicking right away. Let's go to the vet. Oh my gosh, what's happening? So it's the same for people. If they don't look, how would they know? So my question to you, let's talk about poop, people. I love it. my question is, can you give us what the perfect poop looks like, the perfect stool, and what to look for when they are not perfect? What does that mean if your poop is super dry and looks like pellets, or it's runny, or it's green, or it's floating, or it's sinking, or whatever? Can you give us some details on the poop journey?
For sure. So the first thing we need to know is how often your bowel movements are happening, right? So the frequency, is it every day? Is it multiple times a day? Sometimes people with severe conditions can have up to 20 bowel movements a day. That's not normal. So 1 to 3 movements a day, I would consider normal. But then you have to look at the consistency. And so that's what you were saying. Is it dry? Is it like deer pellet, rabbit pellet, hard poops, or is it pure liquid? So we want something in the middle. Usually we compare it to a snake or something smooth that's all together, a nice big sausage, full volume. So you should feel empty after you have your movement. You shouldn't feel like, ooh, I feel like there's still something in there that I need to push out. That's not a complete emptied bowel. If you're having pellet poops, and the way we assess this is by something called the Bristol stool chart, people can look that up, gives you an idea 1 to 7 of what your poo looks like and why it's that way. We're looking at dry little pellets. That usually indicates constipation. It means the stool is inside of your colon for too long. And the job of the colon is to extract water. So the longer it's in there, the more water is getting pulled out, the harder it is for you to evacuate it. And then you go towards the end of the scale, which is more looser movements. And that could be for various different reasons. So sometimes it's inflammation in the bowels. You have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's or celiac disease, or you have a flu, you know, and you're having diarrhea. It could be lack of fiber. It can also be underlying constipation. Now, a lot of people don't think that constipation means, oh, I don't go every day and I'm having pellet poops. You can still have loose stools and have underlying constipation. It's our natural rhythm. Our body wants to get rid of waste. And so a lot of people go through this cycle of no bowel movements and then all of a sudden diarrhea, and then no bowel movements, all of a sudden diarrhea. That's actually constipation. That's the consistency. The color is also important. So usually brown is a good color, not too dark, just a nice regular wood colored brown. If your stool is too light or gray, it can indicate liver problems or gallbladder issues. So you want to get that checked out with your doctor. I would say most abnormal colors, you want to get checked by your doctor. The color of stool is really important. If there's red, bright red, usually that's blood. And if there's black, that's also blood that's coming from upper GI tract. So there's lots of things to look for in the stool. And if we think about the last thing that I ask people outside of color, consistency, frequency, is are you seeing mucus or undigested food in the stool? Because that gives us an idea of your absorption and digestive capacity. How well are you actually breaking down food?
That's awesome. I love that because it gives me a perspective from your naturopathic medicine view. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share the TCM view for everyone as well. So for us, the little rabbit pellets dry, that's a yin deficiency because it dries the fluid. So that's usually a yin deficiency. When there is unfinished feeling, I love that you talked about this because people think, oh, I went to the bathroom, but it's not, do you feel like you voided everything? And when they say, no, not really. For us, that's a liver qi stagnation. It's not moving properly. Straining is also a liver qi stagnation. And having loose stools, or that is usually a spleen qi deficiency. Although, like you said, if it's acute, it could be a cold, then that's an external pathogen like dampness, damp heat, damp cold. But if it is undigested food in the stool in TCM, it would be a kidney yang deficiency because there's not enough fire to cook the food kind of thing. So it goes right through you. So that's a different perspective. But at the same time, just like you and naturopathic medicine, it's abnormal. It's not right. And it's not the right way. And I'm really glad you mentioned the fact that people think constipation means that you have dry stool. But no, if you don't have a bowel movement for 3 days and then suddenly it's like diarrhea, that is still constipation because you didn't have a regular bowel movement. So I'm glad you mentioned that as well. So I appreciate that. Now, when it comes to gut health, years ago, I was diagnosed with SIBO, right? So small intestine bacteria overgrowth. And I went to my naturopathic doctor. I know that every time we talk about gut health, there is a diet component, even though the emotion can be, or the stress can be the cause, there is a diet component. And when I had SIBO, small intestine bacteria overgrowth, I was put on a very strict FODMAPs diet. And by the way, we will put the links in the show note of the Bristol stool test and everything that we're talking about today. So you can go research it a little bit more if you want to know more information. But when I had SIBO, I was put on a FODMAP diet for 6 months, which wasn't easy. There was a lot of things in there that I loved that I couldn't have anymore, like avocado. I love avocado. And then it was reintroducing everything after slowly. And now I can have avocado, but I just have it once or twice a week, not every day. I used to have it every day. When I love something, I just go a little bit too strong, even though it's healthy for me. I know it's good for me. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, and this is why I love to work with naturopathic doctors, as TCM practitioners, we don't have the ability or the license to order tests, right? And you guys can do this. And this is why often I will direct my clients to come and see you. And I'm like, okay, you need to go have XYZ tests. So can you talk about what tests can be done for different conditions, or what do you do to assess there is issue with the gut that is actually physical and not just emotional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of different tests that we can do. So usually this is based on symptoms again. So people telling me about their stool frequency, color, etc. And so the first thing that I always do is I want to rule out the insidious diseases. So things like cancer, right? That we want to make sure that we're not dealing with colorectal cancer. That is a big one. Don't think that just because you're young, you can't have colorectal cancer. It's actually decreasing in age right now. Something called a FIT test, which basically tests for blood in the stool that you can't see, because you can't always see the blood. That tests for microscopic blood in the stool. And if that's positive, usually you'll get referred for a colonoscopy. That's something that I can't refer directly for as a naturopathic doctor. And then we go to the next kind of level of more insidious. I like to use that word because it's something that's not functional. It's not like IBS. So IBD, which is ulcerative colitis and Crohn's, as well as celiac disease. So those can be done through stool tests. You're checking for something that indicates inflammation in the gut, which is called fecal calprotectin. That's for IBD. For celiac disease, we are doing a blood test, and that's checking for an antigen, which is an immune cell, basically, that tells us if you're reacting to gluten. And so once we've ruled those out, then we're looking at more functional disorders. So things like SIBO, microbiome tests. And as naturopathic doctors, we have access to a lot of different testing. I tend to rely mostly on symptoms first and see if we can get somewhere with lifestyle changes. And if we find that that's not really working, then we'll move into more in-depth testing. SIBO testing actually has taken a turn. It used to be more regular. It's a breath test that you blow into to see if you're producing certain gases by the bacteria. It's not actually recommended anymore because it's not super accurate. So we're basing it purely on a clinical diagnosis, meaning every symptom that you're telling me, I'm assessing that, okay, it's not this, it's not this. We've ruled everything else out. It's most likely SIBO because the testing is prone to false positives and negatives. Microbiome tests, this is a poop test that basically tells us what kind of bacteria you have. Do you have parasites? Do you have bacteria? Those are also evolving. So they're always changing and getting better. I don't think we're there yet. It's helpful, but it's not a perfect test. And then the other main one that I would say that I use a lot is H. pylori breath testing. So that's for things like gastritis or pain in the stomach, acid reflux. We want to make sure that's not being caused by a bacteria. And those are probably, there's other tests that we can do, but those are the main ones that I'm using to assess someone's gut health.
This is why I like to refer patients to you, to naturopathic doctors, because the more information we have, the more understanding we can support our patients, the more we can really help them. I'm limited with what I do because it'd be great to actually have knowledge, right? Sometimes I have to send patients for a blood test and say, have you checked your hormone, reproductive hormone-wise? Because if you don't, then we don't know where we start from. Yes, we can do an assessment from a TCM perspective, but it'd be great to have more information so we can all support you the best we can as your team, right? Because there's a team of people that can support patients. Now, that's great because those are the tests. One of the things I want to talk to you about, and I thought it'd be a great segue here, is to talk about the diet. Of course, diet is important and how people eat. And if they're gluten intolerant or celiac or anything that's happening, we need to help them with their diet. One of the things that I love about you is that you are vegan and your partner is so not. But the base is the opposite. He's a meat eater. So I think that's very funny. And I want to understand Why did you decide to go vegan? How do you feel being on a vegan diet versus not prior to? And then I'll share in TCM perspective, it is viewed as, oh, vegan is too cold, right? Because there's too much cold food with a vegan diet. There's not enough warm food because animal protein is more warm or fish is more warm, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to hear, how is your body feeling cold versus hot, and why vegan?
I actually went vegan 10 years ago. My 10-year anniversary is this year, which is crazy to me. After watching one documentary, I watched this video, don't know why, I was just curious, and the next day I was vegan. My veganism has evolved over time, and I'm not against meat eating or the consumption of animal products. I think my main issue is the mass production and the destruction of the environment that comes with that, as well as how we're treating the animals. Obviously, if you have a big company, same thing, your quality tends to go down versus a very small farm where you have your animals roaming around. And I also think that meat shouldn't be the center of our diet. I think that people can be healthy, and most of my patients are not vegan. You can be healthy eating animal products. It's just, I think most people can stand to eat some more vegetables. Most people are vegetable deficient, fruit deficient. They're okay in the meat and dairy category. So when I originally went vegan, I immediately felt amazing. I felt so much lighter, less bloating, actually. I could feel like I wasn't as heavy after eating a meal. And it was easy for me because I didn't really enjoy meat. It was just part of the meal. My parents would make it. It was on the plate. Okay, I eat it. But I think I'm just made to be not a meat eater. I'm okay without it. I do things to modify the coldness of the diet. I actually did do raw vegan one time for 2 weeks. It was in the summertime though, so it was a little bit easier and I felt really great, but I don't think that's attainable or achievable in the winter, especially in Canada. So what I do is I eat mostly cooked. I don't really eat a lot of raw foods, which I find is better for my digestion. I add a lot of warming spices as well. So ginger, garlic, cinnamon, things like that kind of warm the dish, even in smoothies, like adding ginger or cinnamon. And yeah, I focus on having a variety of different foods. I think, like you mentioned with the avocados, having things every day, people tend to get hyper fixated or they're used to eating the same things over and over, but variety is the spice of life. And when it comes to gut health, eating a variety of different foods is what is going to fertilize your gut the best. So I feel really great on a vegan diet, but I don't think that it is for everybody. And everybody is different in their level of tolerance of fiber and vegetables, and the amounts of meat and dairy they can consume is different for every person.
So what's interesting is, like you growing up, I did not like the taste of meat. It was more the texture. I did not like chewing. It felt like I was chewing muscles, and I just didn't like that. And my mom would just put vegetables, let's say a piece of chicken, some vegetables in my plate, and I would eat everything. And then I would take a bite of the chicken and chew that same bite for 20 minutes trying to swallow it. And it would take forever. And my mom eventually, when I was 8, said, you know what, I'm done with this. I can't just have you sit at the table 2 hours just to finish this meat. So my mom decided, I'm not going to force you anymore. And so I stopped eating meat. However, I love fish. So because it's soft, you know, it doesn't have that texture. I do eat fish 3-4 times a week. And I don't eat meat again, because I don't like the texture. So I think it's also because we're talking about gut health. Sometimes you just have to listen to your gut. What does it tell you inside? What does your body feel? Like you said, I felt so good after. What do you feel like when you try different ways? And if you feel really good and you're eating healthy food, then it's going to be really good for you at this stage in your life. And I think that's what we need to do, is experiment and figure out, listening to our gut, literally at the gut levels. I'm glad you share that. Because of this, I want to segue into my next question, and I would love to hear you talk about the relationship between the gut and the brain. So can you talk about the gut-mind connection?
Yes, totally. And actually, bringing it back to what you said before about in TCM, all the emotional problems that lead to internal problems or stress, right? Chronic stress and emotional issues leading to problems or imbalances in the body. I think that TCM being such an old medicine, form of medicine, conventional medicine is now catching up and being like, oh yeah, there is a gut-brain axis. This does exist. And so the way I think about it is like a bi-directional highway between your brain and your gut. You're sending messages from your brain to your gut and from your gut to your brain. So you have this highway and there's certain things that can block that highway. So sometimes this is hard to figure out because a lot of people with gut problems also have anxiety or stress or emotional problems, and teasing out what came first is very hard. So we have to work on both sides. We can't just work on the anxiety or the stress or just the gut. We have to do both at the same time in order to fix the problem. So with the gut-brain axis, there are certain things that can reduce its function or your ability to receive those messages. So something like skipping a bowel movement, right? So I think about kids who are out of their routine, or they don't like to go to the bathroom at school, or they go on a field trip and they feel the urge to go poo, but they don't because they're not comfortable. It's super common. And I find this pattern a lot in patients where they say that they had a history of that. They didn't want to go elsewhere. They were only comfortable in their own home. And that shuts down the messaging from your brain because your gut is saying, oh, we're not releasing. And then your brain says, oh, okay, I'm going to reduce that signal then. And so that actually creates this pattern of constipation that's really hard to reverse. So that's just one example of how things can block that highway. Stress, for sure, any type of emotional stress, as you say, when you're about to go and do a talk or teach a class, you feel that in your gut, that is also going to change the signaling from your brain to your gut. And so if we think about gut health problems, the most common being IBS, right? So bloating, pain, constipation, or diarrhea. A lot of that is not just about the food. It's about the emotional aspect and finding your triggers. What is it that triggers you? And are you always in a sympathetic state? So then we think about the nervous system and the two sides of the nervous system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Parasympathetic is rest and digest. Sympathetic is go. Adrenaline. So a lot of people in our day and age living in a city, working full-time, parents are always in a sympathetic state and you're never digesting in that state. And so some things that you can do to actually put yourself more into rest and digest are deep belly breathing, taking a breath before you eat. Don't just shove it in your mouth and eat super quickly. Chewing your food, smelling your food before eating, because your digestion actually starts in your nostrils and your mouth. So those are the kinds of things that I coach my patients to do, is to work on the nervous system as well as the lifestyle and nutrition aspects in order to apply both to fix the gut-brain axis.
Then TCM is the same way. Sometimes we don't know where it all started, right? Is this a spleen qi deficiency that created dampness, or excess dampness that created the spleen qi deficiency? And students ask me all the time, how do I know which one it is? Sometimes we don't, and we have to treat both. So it's the same as naturopathic medicine. When someone comes and sees you, and they didn't come for gut health, they came for something else, right? Maybe insomnia, maybe fertility issue or menstruation issue. How important is it for you to discuss gut health?
I discuss gut health in every visit. Whether someone comes in with those problems or not, more often than not, we find something. A lot of people think that it's normal. They're like, oh yeah, I get bloating every day. Oh, I thought that was just normal after I eat. No, some people actually have no problems, but I would say that's far and few between. So I have a system that I go through with every single patient, regardless of their chief concern. If their main concern is insomnia, we're obviously going to talk about that, but we also have to think about the whole person, right? Going back to the pillars, we need to treat the whole person. And sometimes they're saying, oh, I eat my dinner at 10 p.m. at night, and then I'm trying to go to bed at 11. That affects your sleep. Or they're not eating enough during the day, and so it's keeping them awake at night. Those are just a few examples. They may not be related exactly together, but everything influences each other in the body. And when I think about it in terms of acupuncture, you're like unblocking the channels and you're allowing the flow, right? And so we want to get the body into flow. And in order for us to address that one problem that you have, whether it's your period cramps or your sleep or your UTIs, we have to think about the things that you're doing every single day. And eating is one of those things.
Exactly. And in TCM, I always say the Zhong Qi, which is Z-H-O-N-G, the Zhong Qi, which means middle, the middle Qi, which is spleen and stomach, which is exactly at the center of our body from our feet to our head or from kidney 1 to do 20. The middle part is our digestive system. And so in TCM perspective, digestion is at the center of our health. It does affect our brain, our immune system, our not just our digestive system, our emotions, our stress, impact into our joints, into the whole body, reproductive system. And so it is really important to discuss. However, that is for me in my practice, and I want to hear your opinion on this. It is the hardest part to ask people to be compliant, to change diet or to eat in a way that feed and support the body. What's your experience with that?
It's really difficult. And that has also changed as I've gone into different years of my practice. It's evolved because when we're in school, we learn about a lot of different therapeutic diets. FODMAP, you mentioned, which is a super restrictive diet. Most of the diets we learn about are super restrictive. So it's not about adding good things, it's about removing things, which psychologically doesn't sit well with most people. They don't want to feel restricted. And so I've actually changed how I frame nutrition aspects in my consults and with my patients to be more of an abundance mindset, right? We're not removing things, we're adding good things. Now, in certain instances, we do have to remove certain foods because they're actually causing harm to the body. For example, if someone's lactose intolerant, they're having a glass of milk and they have diarrhea right after. It's pretty easy to say that we should probably cut down on the milk. But most of the time, it's about adding all of the good stuff. And once you start adding foods and you feel better, it makes it easier for you to do away with the extra condiments or the sauces or the oils or whatever we're trying to cut down on. But if you go right away with a restrictive mindset, like you can't eat any of these things, and I give them a list, it's not sustainable. And no one can stick to that. I can't even stick to that. So I always think about, even in my own gut health journey, of what can I add to improve my gut health instead of what can I remove?
So that's a, such a great point you brought. I really appreciate you sharing that because that's a really good way to start. Okay, I'm going to give you more, not take away. I'm going to finish with what three key takeaway you could give Chinese medicine practitioners or students that could help in their practice to support their patients when it comes to gut health.
The first one I can think of right away is don't be afraid to ask questions. Sometimes people seem uncomfortable when they're talking, especially about things like poo or their gut. They're not used to talking about those things. You're the practitioner. And so your comfort rubs off on the patient. And if you're comfortable talking about it, they're going to be more comfortable. And then you're going to get more information that will help you to help them, right? Number two, I would say, again, going back to the pillars, treat the whole person when you're doing acupuncture. I think this goes without saying, but don't just look at their main concern and try to find that root. As you said, Clara, you know, if you have spleen qi deficiency and liver qi stagnation, treat everything because that's going to enhance your treatment protocol. And number three, I would say, is also don't be afraid to refer your patients out to other practitioners because people get better when they have a team. And I love utilizing acupuncturists, osteopaths, RMT, everything, you name it. The more people are working and looking at this person, the more perspective you get. And usually the person gets better faster.
That was fantastic three key points. And the last one I love because I see a lot of practitioners or new practitioners afraid of sharing patients because they think the patient's not going to come back to them. And that's a misconception because the more you have a team that is going to support the patient, the more the patient's going to be so thankful, they're going to refer everyone to you. So it is such a great way to look at it. Madame Alex Dragon, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so glad you came in to talk about gut health from a naturopathic medicine perspective. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come and share your knowledge with us. So thank you so much for being on the AccuPro show today.
Thank you so much. Anytime I get to talk to Clara from AccuPro is a dream. So it is completely my pleasure to chat with you.
You're so sweet. Now, where can people find you if they need to reach you? We'll put the link in the show notes, but what's the best place to get a hold of you?
The best place I would say is either my Instagram or my website. So my Instagram is at Dr. Alex Dragon, and my website is www.dralexdragon.com. All of my links are there in my Instagram and on my website.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I truly hope you benefited from this episode, and I would love for you to share it with a friend that may benefit from it as well. Follow the show, leave a review, and if you want more, go to my website, acupuncturacademy.com. I have tons of resources there with treatment protocols, case study, free courses, and so much more. And connect with me on all social media at acupuncturacademy. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, Pinterest, and LinkedIn and TikTok. And no matter what, keep rocking it using TCM.